For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So we're going to continue this morning on being a consistent word Christian, a consistent word Christian. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for placing your word into our hands. And we thank you, Father, for your wonderful blessing that has come through believing that. Lord, I ask that this morning be a time of your people responding in faith, that there be a blessing released in the name of Jesus in people's lives and a strength to go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So we talked a bit about being a consistent word Christian a couple of weeks ago, and it's something that we really need to understand. Because we're living in a time, and we won't go into detail about it, but the Bible talks about the famine of hearing the word of God in the book of Amos. And we're right in the middle of that. Let's have a look at John chapter 8. I want us to continue this morning in just seeing where we should put the word of God in our life and be very, very specific about that, because many people are involved in many things, but are they involved in the things that the Lord wants them to be involved in? And are they putting priority on the things that the Lord wants priority on? The Bible says to be not entangled in the affairs of this world, but to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ is one who is disciplined, one who has within them a discipline that has been formed by what the Lord does in their life. Now, John 8, start from verse 31, and notice what it says. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Glory to God. There is a practical application to this. So there were people who heard the words of God. In fact, verse 30 says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. So they became believers. How did he become believers? By hearing the word of God. So they believed by hearing the word. They heard that word and they believed that word. And then Jesus said very specifically in verse 31, to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word." So does that put a responsibility on them? It does indeed, doesn't it? The responsibility is to continue in the word of God. Not to just say, well, I believed 20 years ago, or I believed 10 years ago, or even a year ago. But then, you know, there's no emphasis on the word in your life. Jesus is talking about a particular way. Continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, disciplined ones, indeed. So the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ must be word people. They have to be people of the word. And this is why we emphasize the word of God so much here. Because we want people to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on further from that, because obviously the Word of God is not just ink on the pages of a book. The Word of God is living. In fact, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." So clearly, the Word of God has within it, invested within it, the power of God to do things in the heart of man. In fact, in the, and we'll probably look at this today, in the parable of the sower, the Word of God is the seed. The Word of God goes into people's hearts as the ground. So there has to be the ground of the heart, that is the right type of ground, not hardness of heart in there, not weeds or thorns in there, and the right type of good ground that God talks about, and the Word of God goes in there and is able to produce fruit. Now that tells us that the Word of God has power in it, a power in it. And notice what it says in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, sometimes you hear people say, "Well, the truth shall make you free." Well, they don't quote the full verse, do they? You shall know the truth. You have to know the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. And so it's the knowledge of God's word, knowing it in your heart, not just a head knowledge, but knowing it deep down in your heart, and thereby believing it and acting on it in your life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is the key to walking in freedom. The key to walking in freedom is to know the truth. Well, continue in the word, being a disciple, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from all the bondages of the past, free from all the curse of the law. In fact, Jesus said, God said, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. So freedom in God is the ability to walk in God's blessing. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, let's have a look at an example of a person who put things back to front. Let's have a look at Luke 10. Now, this person thought she was doing the right thing, but put things back to front when she should have put the word of God first in her life. So we're looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And this is the story of Mary and Martha. And you see that there were two sisters. And Mary did one thing, Martha did another thing. Jesus had come to visit their house. And we see what has happened here. Starting from verse 38 of Luke 10, it says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now what does that tell us that Jesus was doing in Martha's house? He was teaching the word, wasn't he? Now that's a great opportunity for anyone. If Jesus is teaching the word, and of course, you know, in the body of Christ, Jesus is the head of the church. In the body of Christ, he puts various ministers to teach the word. You would expect, therefore, that people would be flocking to hear the word if they want to hear the word. Remember, continue in the word of God. If you want to hear that word, if you want to continue the word, if you want to know the truth, the key is to come to where the word is. And here we see that Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now there's a great contrast comes after this. Verse 40, but, so that's a contrast word, isn't it? But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Cumbered means burdened, loaded up. You could say that she was greatly concerned and even worried that things weren't getting done. And it says here, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him. So she had to come to Jesus and interrupt him. Think about that. He's teaching the word. There's Mary and others, obviously, is sitting at his feet to hear the word. Now he had to, his word that was being presented and taught, but Martha came and interrupted. It says, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. This is a real problem here. She comes, interrupts Jesus, and then she accuses Jesus of not caring. Dost thou not care that my sister hath let me to serve alone? This is a real problem, isn't it? Are there people now accusing God of not caring? Oh, God, you don't care, or all types of things they're accusing God because of the way they're thinking. They haven't been renewed in their minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible tells us in Romans 12. So here we see she comes to the Lord, interrupts him, and says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Then she says to the Lord, do this. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, what should she have done? Perhaps she should have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to continue in my serving, or do you want me to be like my sister, to sit down at your feet and hear your word? What do you want me to do? That would have been the humble thing to do, wouldn't it? What did she do? She went and interrupted and made an accusation and then ordered the Lord to do something. Now notice what Jesus says. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So Jesus pinpoints the real problem here. He said, thou art careful, that means full of cares or full of worry, and troubled about many things. So just keep your finger in Luke here and turn across to John 14. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He gave many commandments. This is one commandment in John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Now, the consistent word Christian will be getting the word of God into their heart. They'll be putting the priority of the word of God. They'll be continuing in the word, and they'll be getting a knowledge of the word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart, now the heart is the inner man, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So go back now to Luke 10. Luke 10, we see that Jesus is pinpointing the trouble with Martha in verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. What had she got into her heart? Trouble and the cares of this world and the worries. So that was keeping her, in a very practical way, was keeping her out of the presence of Jesus, where Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. And Jesus said, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. You need to put the priority on this one thing. And we say that today. One thing is really needful right across the body of Christ. And Mary hath chosen that good part. What's the thing that's needful? To hear the word of God. To be at the feet of Jesus, hearing the word of God in a humble way and getting that word into your heart. Because if you have the word in your heart, what happens? What happens? Remember, I talked about that fruit that'll come, because it gets in your heart as a seed and brings forth that fruit that's going to produce good things in your life, both in your life personally and around you as well. It's got to be very, very clear, though, that what you do in your life in terms of the priority you put on things. Was the Lord telling Martha to go and do all this serving and be cumbered about? No. No. In fact, she must have known that the Lord was there teaching and that there were people there. She could have said, "Lord, do you want me to get a meal ready? Do you want this?" You know, Jesus, who fed the 5,000, could have said, "Look, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it." So we have to put priority on what God wants, not on what others want or what the trouble... See, trouble is speaking to people all the time. The cares and the fears are speaking to people all the time. The worries and so on are speaking to people all the time. You cannot let them get into your heart. What has to be in your heart is the truth of God's words. The truth of God's words have to be in your heart. Have a look at Mark 4. Mark 4. There's some real keys in Mark 4 for the consistent word Christian. Mark 4, and we'll look at verses 18 to 20. Now, God is instructing his people today. Get back to the Word of God. Don't allow other things to get in, because this is the tactic of the enemy, to target the heart. Now, we saw the commandment of Jesus, "Let not your heart be troubled." But the tactic of the enemy is to target people's hearts and to get the wrong seeds into people's hearts. And we see this very clearly in Mark 4, starting from verse 18. Verse 18, and this is what Jesus said about the parable of the sower. "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What are we seeing here? So you see in verse 18, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word." So the word is being sown. Okay, so the Bible talks about the word of faith which we preach. So the word is being preached here today, for example. So the word is being sown. People have an opportunity to receive it. But there are people who have things that have entered into their heart. Verse 19 says about the cares of this world, that's the worries and fears of this world, okay, and the deceitfulness of riches. Lots of people rushing after riches, and the lusts of other things. I don't need to go into detail about that. Entering in. Now, who is letting that in to their heart? Well, the enemy is supplying the seed, right? The devil's supplying the seed. There's plenty of seed out there. There's plenty of trouble out there. But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." So the seed is being provided by the Lord, the Word of God. The seed is being provided by the enemy. All of these thorns that it's being talked about in verse 18, thorns. So there's the thorn seed and there's the word seed. So the thorn seed's being provided, obviously. We have to understand this. The heart is the ground for the seed. The seed is the word of God. Verse 14 of Mark 4 says, "The sower soweth the word." So the sower is sowing the word. But what's in people's hearts that has to be dealt with? And if people are having problems in these areas, such as the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, that's sinful. It needs to be repented of. Repentance is not a dirty word. Repentance is a clearinghouse for your heart. You get before the Lord and you say, "I repent. Lord, forgive me of this. Forgive me for allowing these things to get in the way," and clear that heart. Be washed clean by the blood of Christ. and be cleansed from all unrighteousness. So then you have a heart, as it says in verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, a good ground heart. A good ground heart will hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. So, you know, you can imagine people who have been born again for some time, you would expect them to be coming, beginning better, not worse. So if they're getting worse, something's happening there that shouldn't be happening. But if the Word of God is having its priority and place in a person's life, then there's got to be that fruit that will come out of that. Glory to God. So God is saying to his people right across the earth, he's saying to his people, get the word in its right place. Get the word of God in its right place. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that he's exalted his word above his name. That's how high God sees his word. And his word is his bond. Thy word is truth. There's no error in his word. Glory to God. And his word has that power as that good seed to come into people's hearts and change them completely. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. But you know, what do people really want? If you really want something, you're going to go for it. If you really want something, you're going to put other things aside to get it. Jesus told a couple of parables that were in line with that. Have a look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Look at verses 45 and 46 in Matthew 13. 45 and 46. You see, if you really want something, if you really want the good things of God in your life, you're going to put the priority to get that. It's no use saying, oh, whatever will be, will be. That's a false philosophy. No, no, we have responsibilities. We have the commands given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Get the things that are not right out of your heart. Okay? Make sure that you receive the Word of God. In other words, continue in the Word of God. Receive it in a good ground heart. So when Jesus said, continue in my Word, that's not an optional extra for your life. It's not adding Jesus onto your life and everything will work out by just having him as an optional extra. In fact, we know very clearly, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Okay? He is all. So therefore his word has to matter. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Richly is not poorly. So consistent word Christians will have the word of God put into their hearts richly. So looking now at Matthew 13:45 and 46. Jesus spoke a lot about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now Jesus also said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A lot of people have it back to front. They take thought for all types of things. In other words, worry and care about, oh, how am I going to get this done or whatever. But God wants him first. And here we see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. So he's seeking the good things. He finds that one pearl of great price and he puts everything aside. He sells everything he has and gets it. He bought it. We've got to be as tenacious as that. Tenacious as that. Because the enemy is tenacious. He's very tenacious about getting people ineffectual, getting them so that they're not able to do what God wants them to do, getting them so that they're sidetracked. God wants us to be focused on his word. focused on the truth. Have a look also at Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. You know, we must be focused. So we'll actually go a bit further. We'll go down to into the next section. We'll start from verse 22. I'll go from verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So people can easily say, Lord, Lord, can't they? But not do the things that he wants them to do. It's he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's many that are saying all things which sound wonderful, sound holy, but it's not rooted and grounded in the word of God. And because of that, you've got to put the word in its right place, because of that, they're doing all types of things, and even in a pretense way, as though they are presenting themselves to be holy and wonderful. And look, I've done this, and I've done that. But God wants you to bow the knee and say, what is your will, Lord? What is your will? Okay, it's better for people not to know of our names and know of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's better for people to come to the Word of God as Jesus has presented it today. It's very much the case now that the Word is being shifted out, or has been and is being shifted out of people's lives. But verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So you're hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're doing them. That's the consistent word, Christian. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Is that your life? Founded upon the rock of the Word of God? Founded upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that your life? It should be. Look at verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we can see there's the foolish. There's the foolish. They're building their house upon the sand, upon everything else but the foundation of the Word of God. And by doing that, destruction can come in. By doing that, people can be destroyed. Their faith can be destroyed. By doing that, it can weaken the church itself. And we see that right across the globe now, the weakening of the church. But God is calling his people to come back, to put his word in the right place, to be word people, to be people of faith, to be people of understanding, to be people of truth, to be his disciples. His disciples indeed. God's word is a light to us. It's a light in the darkness. God's word is truth and its strength. Let's have a quick look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we'll look at a couple of verses in here. We'll look at verse 89. Verse 89, first of all, in Psalm 119. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever. God's word is settled. It's settled. And then in verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." See, this is very, very important. We are on a dark planet, full of sin, full of the cares of this world, full of the deceitfulness of riches, full of the lusts of other things, full of sin. You need the light of God's word. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," so you're able to see where you're going. "A light unto my path." Very clear direction in the Lord. God has put his word in the earth for a specific purpose. A specific purpose. And Jesus made it very clear that we should build our house, our lives, upon the rock of his word, his sayings. This is something we need to take into our heart as truth, so that we can stand in the evil day. The Bible is very clear that he wants us to stand, he wants us to be light to the world, but we have to be word people to be able to do that. We have to be word people to be able to do that. And one more verse just out of Psalm 119, if you have a look at verse 116. "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope." That's how we're upheld, according to the word of God in our life. God is saying to his people, put the word in the right place. Don't make it secondary. Don't be like Martha, who has made the word of God secondary and everything else primary. She had allowed trouble to get into her heart. She'd allowed worry and care to get into her heart. But God is saying to his people, just as he said to Martha, you know, there's one thing that's needful. One thing is needful, and that's the word of God. It is needful today more than ever. Needful today more than ever. God is saying to his people today, not just here, but right across the earth, he's saying to his people, put the word of God in its right place. Put the word of God in its right place. God is merciful, but he's wanting his people to come to the right place at the right, so that they can be at the right place at the right time according to his will. According to his will. Let's look at Romans 10. We'll finish in Romans 10 today. Romans 10, verses 8 to 10. Romans 10, starting from verse 8. We'll go to verse 10. And then we'll be looking at verses 17 to 21. Romans 10, verse 8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Okay, so where must the word of God be? In your mouth and in your heart. In fact, the Bible says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and death and life are in the power of the tongue." So getting the word of God into your heart is crucial, needful, as Jesus said. So the word of faith which we preach. So there's one way to get it in, by preaching, by the preaching of the word of God, by us also meditating on his word, studying his word, reading His Word. So you're not just, when you come to a service, you're getting the Word of God, but you're getting it all the time. In fact, in today's society, we have so many technological advantages that we can get the Word of God coming into our hearts every day. Every day. Every day. There's no excuse. No excuse. But remember, even though there's this technological advantage of being able to listen to the Word, there's lots and lots of distractions, isn't there? Lots and lots of opportunities to get those thorn seeds into people. That's why we have to be people that are serious, that are saying, I put God's Word in its right place. Glory to God. So let's continue. Verse 8, but what saith it? The Word is nigh thee. That means very close. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And remember, salvation is not just I'm born again and going to heaven. Salvation is being redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus provided in his salvation the blessings of health and prosperity and deliverance and strength. All of that is in salvation. You have to get it into your heart so that you know about these things. Then go across to verses 17 to 21. Verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, if you want to be a person of faith, what do you have to expose yourself to? The word of God, isn't it? The word of God is how faith can come into you. Faith cometh by hearing, that is, hearing with your inner man heart. Inner man ears, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. So the sound's going out. You know, the sound of preaching is going out into all the earth, now even. Verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What was the problem here? This is not just talking about natural Israel now, we're talking about spiritual Israel, the church. You know, those that are Jews inwardly, that's spiritual Israel. What happened to natural Israel? They were a disobedient and gainsaying people. They could not hear the word with their heart. Yes, the sound came. They could hear words with their outer ears, but because of disobedience and gainsaying, that is speaking against the ministers of God and speaking against the words of God, they were not able to receive it. And this is exactly the same type of thing that's happening today in spiritual Israel. People are not repenting and getting things out, and they're gainsaying. They speak all types of things against the truth and changing God's word and so on. But God is saying, all right, you have to get back to real basics here. You have to get back to the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your word. And Father, we desire to be people of faith, to be people of the word. And I ask, Lord, that every one of us be consistent word Christians. Put the right things in priority in our lives. If we see something in your word, Lord, that we are diligent, we commit ourselves to be diligent for that. Father, help us in that. Help us to see, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear in the name of Jesus. I ask every person here be a hearing, seeing Christian, word believer. In Jesus' name.